Take your Bible, please, and find Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. We're going to look in verse 22 here in a bit. Tonight I want to preach on this subject, leaving a legacy, God's design for grandparents. Leaving a legacy, God's design for grandparents. If you're a guest for the first time, you know that this is the fourth message in a series of sermons under the theme, God's Design for Families. And tonight, we want to talk about God's design for grandparents. Over the years that I've been preaching the gospel of God's grace and the Word of God, I've preached almost 5,000 times. You say, Pastor, how do you know? I have a record of every sermon where I preached it, the text of Scripture, and the title of the message. And so I almost 5,000 times. And all of these times I've preached, tonight I'm doing something I've never done. I've never yet preached a sermon on grandparenting. Kim and I became grandparents on October 20, 2001, almost 7 years ago. And our first grandchild, Franklin, came in 7 weeks early at 3 pounds and 13 ounces, but he's right back there, sitting over there, and he's doing fine. Our granddaughter, Claudia, was next, and then our grandson, William Presley, who lives in Arkansas, was next, and then Joshua Presley, his younger brother, was next, and then Sam Jackson was next, and there they are on the screen, and I get a chance to do that. You don't get to do that, but I do. That's one of the perks and prerogatives that comes with being the pastor of the church. So when I'm dead and gone and you're the pastor, you can put the photos of your grandkids up on the screen. I'm sorry we don't have room for anyone else's grandkids tonight. So we have five, and we're grateful to the Lord for them, and we have two more on the way. Margaret Ann O'Reilly is coming, Margaret Ann Presley is coming in just a few weeks to be born in Memphis, and baby O'Reilly coming later next year. We're looking for our first redheaded grandkid because his daddy or her daddy, which is going to be a boy or girl, we don't know. We're hoping he's a redhead. We're hoping to get some redheaded grandkids somewhere along the way. Now, those are great kids on the screen, aren't they? You agree with that? I tell you, I'm blessed. Yeah. One of the things about being a grandparent is that there's some things you don't have any control over. You know, parents get to name their children. Grandchildren get to name their grandparents. Kim was going to be Grammy, but our first grandchild had trouble saying that, and he talked early, so he said Mimi, and Mimi it is. I was going to be Papa. He had no problem with that, and so Papa I am. But grandchildren get to do the naming. They might name them Grandpa or Grandma or Grandmother or Grandfather or Nana or Pot are the grandparents' names of the Jackson grandkids. A couple that I like are Big Mama and Big Daddy. I've known some with that name for their grandkids. We have some interesting names here at Lakeview. We have Sweet Pea, Miss Patty Chance. And we have Honey, Joanne Mormon. And then we have Money, Sue Hann. So you never know what a grandkid's going to do. Sometimes they do what we want them to do, and sometimes they don't when it comes to names. Well, whatever the name given to you, or whatever the name you chose, if your grandchildren identify with it, or whether they don't, they give you some name of their own choosing. Grandparents delight in the names that their grandchildren give them. Now, I know that most of the crowd here tonight are not grandparents. You can look around the room and see that. There are not too many gray-headed folks here like the pastor, but nevertheless, there are some here. And those of you who are not grandparents, you're just parents yet, you'll be grandparents soon enough. And those of you who are students, you're not even married yet, trust me, it'll be here before you know it. The average age of a first-time grandparent in the United States is 47. So students, that's just a couple of decades plus away from you. It's coming, and you don't even have a wife or a husband yet. There are almost 80 million grandparents in the United States. And so tonight, let's just talk about leaving a legacy, God's design for grandparents. May I confess at the outset, I feel very, very inadequate to preach this sermon. I do not feel that my grandparenting skills are adequate to stand before you, but nevertheless, we must press on. Many of you could stand here and do far better than I, and we'll have some help here in a little bit from Charles Elkins and Barbara Nowell. My wife, Kim, is an extraordinary grandmother. She certainly is more qualified than I to do this, but I'm the pastor, so I'm the one that has the assignment, a self-imposed assignment, I might add. So I want us to begin tonight in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. That is, for his grandchildren. A good man is an honorable man. A good man is one who is morally upright. And God's word says that this good man leaves. He leaves an inheritance. He doesn't take it with him. It's something that he passes on to his descendants. And of course, the inheritance in mind in this particular passage primarily is an inheritance of material possessions. Alan Ross, who's professor of Old Testament at Beeson Divinity School in Birmingham, said, "In Israel, the idea of passing on an inheritance was a sign of God's blessing. A blessing that God had given to you, material wealth, material possessions, which you could pass on to your children and your grandchildren and to all the generations to come. It is a good thing for a father and a mother and a grandfather and a grandmother to help their children and their grandchildren financially. I confess, I don't know that we would ever have owned our own house had we not had assistance, financial help, a gift from both my parents and Kim's parents so that we would have enough money to make a down payment. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but that would probably be pretty widespread in this room. And it is fitting for parents to do that. And for those of us who've been the recipients of such a generous gift from our parents to do that for our children, which we've tried to do as well. When our first grandchild was born and the other grandchildren began to come, we purposed that we would make some kind of financial investment, and so we made an investment with Guidestone, which is the retirement agency of the Southern Baptist Convention. You can do that for family members, and we made a gift which across the years will grow in value so that when our grandchildren come of age, this gift will be there to help them do missions or to help them go to college or to whatever it is they want to do when they come of age. That's a part of God's plan. Grandparents make a tragic mistake when they try to use up all the inheritance for themselves. You've been on a holiday somewhere, you've been in the mountains, you've been at the beach, you've been somewhere out west, you've seen an older couple driving an RV, a recreational vehicle, and you see that bumper sticker that said, "We're spending our grandchildren's inheritance." Now, it's okay if you spend a little bit of it, but you ought to leave a significant portion to them, but do so in such a way that they don't become where they don't have to depend on God and just take that inheritance and squander it. So it calls for a lot of wisdom, and God will give wisdom as we seek to do that. But I want to move quickly from that. I want to move to something far, far more valuable than a financial or a material inheritance. When the writer of Proverbs says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, I think we can also make the application that an inheritance ought to be a legacy of godliness. It ought to be the ambition of every grandfather and every grandmother to leave for his grandsons and granddaughters this legacy of a God-fearing, Jesus-loving, Bible-based, Spirit-filled life. Now, I want to give you a corresponding passage of Scripture that will amplify this a bit. Look back in Psalm 78. Look in Psalm 78, and we'll just quickly read verses 1 through 7 and make a couple of quick comments before I try to give you some practical handles on how to leave a legacy to your grandchildren. Psalm 78, beginning with verse 1. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden from of old, things that we have heard and known, things our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell them to the next generation. The praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds and would keep His commands. The greatest gift that any parent can give to his son or daughter is a legacy of faith in God. In like manner, the greatest legacy that a grandfather or a grandmother could give to his or her grandchild is a legacy of faith in God. You notice that the scripture says here in verses 6 and 7, so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. God's plan is for one generation to pass on the faith to the next generation, who will pass it on to the next generation, to the next generation, to all the generations to come until Jesus comes again at the end of the age. And so when we do that, we are seeking to pass on to them a belief in God, a confidence in God, and a desire to trust God, to love God, and to serve Him. Now, let me give you just four or five simple suggestions, and I could give you many more. Perhaps if I preach on this again, this sermon will be more well-formed than it is tonight, but this is just a beginning of what some things some grandparents can do to pass on this legacy of godliness, this legacy of faith. Number one, grandparents can model and should model genuine faith in God. If you want your grandchildren to love God and to obey God and to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve Him, then the best thing you can do is to model that for them. Model in your own lifestyle a genuine faith in God. And here I want you to look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. As you know, 2 Timothy was written by Paul to his colleague, his young colleague in ministry, Timothy. And Paul was instrumental in Timothy's conversion, but he was not the only one. Also, there was the legacy that he received from his mother and from his grandmother. Now, Verse 1, 2 Timothy 1:5. Paul says to Timothy, I have been reminded of your sincere faith. Whose faith? Timothy's faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Timothy had this legacy of faith in God from his mother Eunice, from his grandmother, Lois. What a wonderful example that is. And what a great role model this grandmother, Lois, was for her grandson, Timothy, and is for all grandparents today. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, a righteous man lives for the next generation. You don't want to just live for yourself, for your generation, but you want to live for those who come after you, your children and their children and your children's children's children. And so, you know, foundational to all that we think about is we're talking about leaving a legacy of godliness and faith for your grandchildren is that you must model it in your life. Do you love God? then it might be unrealistic to expect your sons and daughters to love God unless you love God sincerely and genuinely. Do you want your son, your grandchildren to obey God? Then make it your ambition to obey God yourself. Do you want them to serve God in the fellowship of His church? Then let them see you serving the Lord God in the fellowship of His church. It is more caught than it is taught. And grandparents have an incredible opportunity to so order their lives and live before their grandsons and granddaughters that they might catch the faith of their grandparents. Number two, you can be involved in their lives, in the lives of your grandsons and your granddaughters. In other words, when your grandkids come along, don't go AWOL. You know, there are those grandparents who, when their grandkids come into the family, they just sort of disappear. They take off. For whatever reason, especially when they come to retirement age, they just drop off the radar screen of their grandchildren and their children as well, of course. And I want to suggest tonight that if you want to leave a legacy of faith and a legacy of godliness, be involved in the lives of your grandchildren. If they're far away, it's more challenging than it is if they're close at hand. We have grandchildren in Arkansas. We have grandchildren in Auburn. Obviously, we have far more personal involvement, face-to-face involvement with those who are local than those who are 8 hours away. Nevertheless, it can be done. I salute my wife, Kim, who does an extraordinary job of staying in touch with our family in Arkansas and with the grand boys out there. You can make visits to your grandchildren. You can write them letters. You can make phone calls. You can send them gifts. You can find ways to be involved in their lives, to communicate to them that you care about them, you love them, you desire them to know of your great love for them. If they're in the same community or not so many miles away, it's much, much easier to be involved in the lives of your grandchildren. And of course, it's a delight to be able to go to their events, their plays at school, their end-of-the-year school programs, their church events, to be involved in their athletic and sports events, their ball games, their concerts. And grandparents, you and I can do our grandchildren a favor and do ourselves a favor and do their parents a favor by saying to their parents, let us have the grandkids for an afternoon or a day or an overnight. And give to their mom and dad a little break from the pressures of parenting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Plus, it's fun when you do something with your grandkids. It's fun for you. Last year at Thanksgiving, I decided I was going to take the grandkids camping. Just me and the kids. But I wasn't real sure I was going to work out, so we were going to camp in the backyard. It's safer there. If it gets too cold, well, it's not far inside. So I had Franklin, who was 6, and Claudia, who was almost 4, and William, who was almost 4, and me. And we're in the tent in the backyard. So we're all covered up, except for Franklin. He didn't get his share of the covers. Bad grandfather. So in the middle of the night, he wakes up, and of course, the two younger ones are sound asleep. I didn't sleep much at all. And he says, "Papa, it's a little bit cold. I think I'm going inside." So he goes inside and gets in the bed with his Mimi and makes her happy. And I stay out there till daylight with the two younger ones and try to make sure they stay warm. It's a special memory for me. I don't know if they'll remember it when they grow up, but it was a fun memory for me. I haven't done it as often as I would like, but one of the things that I've tried to do is to take at least the local grandkids, Franklin and Claudia, not Sam yet, and take them with me when I make pastoral visits, especially on the shut-in ladies. They really delight in seeing small children come. And so find some way, grandfathers, if you're still employed, you have a job, grandmother, find some way to involve them in your life. And then when you're done with that, be sure to take them by the ice cream shop or the yogurt shop and get them a treat of some kind. Now, having said that about being involved in their lives, there's a danger. And the danger is when grandparents try to become parents. Now, that's a thin line to walk, because grandparents usually know more about parenting than parents do, because they've done all the things, made all the mistakes. They know what's bad. And the danger that a grandparent has is to try to tell the parents how to raise their children. You need to be really, really careful there and try to keep your distance on that, because it's not your job to raise them, it's their parents' job to raise them. And it's your job to support the parents and to back them up and to encourage them in their God-given responsibility. Let me give you a third suggestion. Leave a written or oral legacy. In other words, your spiritual testimony, your spiritual journey. You have one, you have a story of how you came to faith in Christ, how God has blessed you, how God has changed your life, and the ways that God has worked in your life across the years. Leave a record of that for them to read in the generations to come. You can record it on a tape or a CD and pass it along. Better still, you can do what Chuck Farrell did. A few years ago, Chuck Farrell wanted to write out his testimony at some length, so that he would leave a legacy, a written record of his pilgrimage. And when he did so, his wife Bonnie and his daughter Ginger surprised him and had it published in book form. It's what, 80 pages maybe, Chuck, something like that. It's a wonderful, wonderful testimony of Chuck's life and a legacy left to his grandchildren. And it can be passed on all the generations to come until Jesus comes again. Then I think of what Jerry Sibley did with his grandkids. He didn't write a testimony as such, but he wrote a novel based on his childhood, The Adventures of Harley Earl. I recommend it to you. Some of you know the Sibleys. They are the parents of Jeff Sibley and the grandparents of the Sibley kids that are here. And it's a fascinating story. What a wonderful record to pass on to those who come after. So you can leave a written or an oral legacy of your life and your pilgrimage. Number four, you can speak blessing into the lives of your grandchildren. Learn to speak blessing into the lives of your grandchildren. We read throughout the Bible how great men of faith would bless their children. They would speak words of blessing to them. And when you do that, you're just simply saying to them, I believe in you. God believes in you. God's going to do wonderful things in your life. I learned some years ago when I first became a grandfather from Tom Eliff, who is going to be here in January to preach for us. Tom Eliff said, for years I've been saying to my grandchildren, as often as I have opportunity, something like this. Call them by name and say, God has great plans for you. And I thought, well, that's a pretty simple thing to do. I can do that. So ever since I had a grandchild, to my grandchildren, I say that to them. When they were just infants, they didn't know what I was talking about, but I said it anyway. God has great plans for you, and He does. I don't know what those plans are. I don't usually say anything more than that. Sometimes I say to them something like this. God has great plans for you, and I don't know what it might be. He might want you to be a farmer. He might want you to be a surgeon. He might want you to be a truck driver. He might want you to be a missionary. He might want you to be any number of things. But just know this, that God has great plans for you. And speak that blessing into their lives and see what God has planned for your grandchildren. And number five, pray diligently. Pray diligently. I heard of one grandfather who has a different verse of scripture that he prays for his grandchildren, for every different grandchild. I'm not at that stage yet, but I tell you what, I do pray for my grandchildren. Look in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Luke 2, 52 is Luke's one sentence summary of the life of Jesus from the time he was 12 until he was 30. And this is what Luke tells us about Jesus during that time. Luke 2:52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And daily I pray Luke 2:52 for my grandchildren. I call them by name and I pray this verse for them. I want them to be like Jesus. I want them to grow in wisdom like Jesus grew in wisdom. And I pray that for them. I want them to grow in stature as Jesus grew in stature. I want them to grow in favor with men as Jesus grew in favor with men. And most of all, I want them to grow in favor with God. Because if you grow in stature and you grow in wisdom and you grow in favor with men, but you don't grow in favor with God, then you lose eternally. And so it is our privilege, as grandparents, to join with their parents and others in interceding for our grandsons and granddaughters that they might be conformed to the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ and might live for His glory. Now, I've asked two veteran grandparents to help me in this sermon, and their counsel is going to be, I'm sure, much wiser than mine. Barbara Nowell, come on up here, please. Miss Barbara. Barbara is retired from the university, and when she retired, she went to work for Lakeview Baptist Church. She's in the office as our receptionist, and I've asked her to share some things that God has shown her across the way. And when she's done, Charles Elkins will come, and he will follow Barbara with some counsel from his experiences as well.
I am always glad to talk about my four wonderful grandchildren. I have one granddaughter, Carrie, and three grandsons, Brian, Casey, and Davy. As each one of them was born, I went to their homes and prayed for them in their bedrooms, asking God to send angels to protect them. I also prayed Luke 2:52, asking God to help them to grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. I'm happy to say that all four of my grandchildren have accepted Jesus as their Savior and are active in Baptist churches in Birmingham. At Christmas time, I did what I called celebrate Jesus. Between Thanksgiving and Christmas, each week they got a gift along with scripture to memorize. One year I did the creation, and I was able to find puzzles of creation. And they also got a mirror, and the scripture told them to look at the mirror and see who God had made their wonderful self. As they grew each year, we talked about the names of Jesus in the last few years, and I was able to find gifts to emphasize His name. One year I used Jesus is our rock, the story from Matthew 24-27 that says the wise men built his house on the rock. And when the storms come, they will have that rock, that foundation. And their gift that time was rocks. I encourage them to continue to study Jesus' life and His word. And then I used Jesus is the Savior of the world. I was able to find a globe for them. And also a book on praying for the kids of the world, which I purchased at our mission festival here in Lakeview. One year I did the birth of Jesus, using a nativity scene, building on the scripture, starting with Mary and Joseph, and then the shepherds and the sheep, and baby Jesus in the stable, and then the wise men. Their mothers say that, and they used it in their rooms for several Christmas to come. They always got a daily devotional book for the year at Christmas time. And one year, when they came in June, they told me that they loved the book so much they had already read it all the way through. And I said, you were supposed to do it daily. They said, but Nanny, we loved it, and we've already read it all the way through. I prayed every time when I did something like this that God would lead me to the scripture to use each year, and he did. And he would help me to find the gifts that I needed to emphasize this. For about 12 years, every summer, all four of them came for a week. They called it Nanny's Camp because we had Bible stories and with a workbook. We did Bible drills, and we had fun visiting all the parks in the area and attending vacation Bible school some and then helping with Bible school. We also had a junk food night, which they got hot dogs and assortment of potato chips and chips like that, popsicles and ice cream. But as they grew, so did their appetite. And they told me that they wanted a steak night instead of hot dogs. I always took pictures, which they got a copy of at the end of the week. And throughout the years, we've stayed in touch, as Brother Al said that they do. We called each other, and I wrote cards to them. I found cute little cards to send them. And they came back for other visits. They are now 18, 17, and 15. Two of them begins college tomorrow, Carrie and Brian. But unfortunately, they're going to that other school up there, that other place in Tuscaloosa, which to my son's, it was really bad for him. All four of them will get a copy of the Catechism for Boys and Girls that Brother Al gave out last week. It's a wonderful reference book, and I sent that to them. As you have grandchildren, just love them and have fun with them, listen to them, and most of all, pray for them. My grandchildren are truly a blessing to me.
Charles Elkins has been a deacon in this church for decades. A very wise and godly man. And what he has to say, I'm sure, will be valuable to us.
Brother Al, if I'd known how you were going to start this off, I guarantee you there would have been a picture of Elkins' grandchildren up there right now. Yesterday, Al and I went to Northeast Georgia to see our children in a children's musical in Watkinsville, First Baptist Church. And I'll say aside right now that Vic Doss over there said, tell all of you hello. Many of you know Vic. We went over to hear him in this, see him in this musical. I got a great surprise when we arrived at our daughter's house. They had an orchestra there to greet us. Now, I never did see the orchestra, but when those three little girls ran down the front walk crying, Granddaddy, 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 I heard it. And, you know what I mean if you're a grandparent. Well, what a joy to have grandchildren. The six greatest things, best things, have happened to Isla and me, our six grandchildren. What a delight to have them. And along with it, what a responsibility. Brother Al's talked about that tonight. And I want to use a few personal examples to illustrate some of what he has said. Let's go to the mid-1970s, and I and our two children visiting our parents. And soon after we arrived, David, who's about eight at the time, and my father disappeared, and they were off somewhere by themselves. And about 20 minutes later, they came back, and my dad walked up beside me. I was standing there in the kitchen while my mother was preparing a meal. My dad walked up beside me, and he just said to me, said, David has a good, strong theology. What a blessing to have a grandparent like that. As I look back on that situation, it seems that he was anxiously awaiting our arrival so that he could check out the faith of his, the spiritual maturity of his young grandson. His favorite hymn was Blessed Assurance. He wanted to be sure that his grandson knew that blessed assurance. Let's go to 1953. And my father, my parents, and I visit my great-grandfather. I just joined the Army, had on my military uniform. And as we were beginning to leave after we'd visited with my great-grandfather, we stood up. I can picture the room clearly right now. His rocking chair there, and beside it, a small table with a worn-out Bible on it. He stood and turned to me, and he said, "Charles, in the Army, you're going to be running a situation where you may want to drink some alcoholic beverages." He said, "Leave them alone." That was it. And what a joy as a young adult to still have a great-grandfather that was that interested in my well-being. We were have been greatly blessed with the help that we've had in raising our children from the help from grandparents. They had, from Isla's side of the house and from mine, they had four godly grandparents. When we visited them with them, we went to church with them. They worshiped with our grandchildren. Our children were aware of their involvement in the Lord's work, knew where they stood in their faith, and they were praying for them. In addition to that, they had, still at that time, had a godly set of great grandparents there. And now that we have children, we are trying to carry that on and pray for our children and get involved in their lives and let them know that we love them and be sure of their relationship to the Lord. Now let me spend a minute or two telling you about the legacy that grandparents that I've never seen left for me. The year 1517 should mean something to all of us. That's the year that Martin Luther made his declaration of faith to the Catholic Church, and the Protestant Revolution began. Reformation began. 200 years later, the Catholic Church was quite concerned about the number of individuals they were losing who were becoming Protestants. As a result of it, in the area around Salzburg, Austria, it was Germany then, the Archbishop issued an edict to the Protestants. Said, "You have three choices. You can pledge allegiance to the Catholic Church. You can leave the country. Or you can stay and be dealt with harshly, even unto death." And as a result of that, 20,000 Protestants got up and left that part of Germany. And they marched out into a snowstorm, singing hymns. They didn't know where they were going, but they knew what they were looking for. They were looking for a place where they could freely worship God. In those 20,000 were 300 who ended up coming to this colony of Georgia. In there were grandparents of mine, nine generations back, Arnsdorf, Ron, Height, Niece, known others. And they came to Georgia and settled there and established a town named Ebenezer just north of Savannah. New Jerusalem Church was founded there. And the question, what if one of those had turned back? I wouldn't be here. My family wouldn't be here. My children, my grandchildren wouldn't be. If one of them, just one out of a great number, if Grandpa Lorenz Arnsdorf had said, "Doretha, we're not going. I'm going to keep working in my cobbler shop, making shoes, and we're going to stay in our home. We're not going to root our children up and take them away from here." I wouldn't be here. But they didn't. They washed out with the rest. And they were faithful to their faith and to their God, and did not look back. And as a result of that, my family has been blessed for 277 years across 11 generations, if it includes my grandchildren. So never underestimate the extent to which your faithfulness can reach. My family just wouldn't be if it weren't for the faithfulness of grandparents that I never laid eyes on. But I love my grandparents, and I love my grandchildren. Thank you.
Let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you for these testimonies we've just heard. We thank you for your word. Your word says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And so for every grandfather and every grandmother here, I pray that you would give us insight and wisdom into how we might best order our lives so that we can leave an inheritance, a legacy of love for God and love for the church, love for that which the Lord loves, the nations, for our children's children, and those who will come for all the generations to come. Now, Lord, bless this time of decision and commitment. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you look this way? In a moment, we're going to stand and sing our songs of commitment. If you need to trust Jesus as your Savior, you need to put your membership in this church, you need to come to this altar and just kneel and spend a few moments in prayer. Our pastors will be at the front of each aisle to help you and counsel you and to receive you. We stand and sing. Come now while we sing.